All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez.
Welcome in to the latest edition of All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez. I am your host. I just want to let you know once again that God is great, life is great, and you're great for listening today. Some great things been going on this week, and I just want to talk about it. Obviously, on this show, we attack things through a biblical lens. We look at it through a biblical lens, and that's what I want to do today. I want to take you to the first book of Kings, chapter 12. And I want to talk about some of the stuff that's been going on. It's election week. This episode dropped, let me say that, on November 5th, 2021. And it's election week. Governor races, mayoral races, city council races, justice races, things like that going on around America right now as I speak. Well, as I speak, the races are pretty much over. Some recounts are being done, but mostly everything is done. So, with that being said, let me get to this and let you know that the pushback is happening. That the pushback has happened, and that it reminds me of something in the Bible. So, let me go to that right now, and let's take a reading here. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 7. It says like this. And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. All right, so this is the story of King Rehoboam. And what was going on in this time was that Jeroboam and the people of Israel came down and they said, hey, we'd like a reprieve. We'd like to get some relief. But the king of Judah said, come back to me in 3 days. I'm going to consult with my people and we're going to see what we're going to do. Now, the reason why this is important and the reason why it goes along with the things going on that you're hearing about this week in this time is because of what happens next. So let me keep reading a little bit more. We'll go down to verses 18 and verses 19. And they say like this. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now another version says of verse 18. Therefore, King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the forced labor. So it's explaining to you what was going on in that time. Forced labor. And then they stoned him and they made the king flee. So what happened? What happened was that the people got tired. The people came and said, are you going to lighten our burden? Are you going to lighten our yoke? Are you going to make things easier for us, better for us as the king, that you have the power to do so? And he consulted with the young men, his friends, his peers. And they said, nah, make it worse. Make it heavier. Make it harder on them. And guess what? The people pushed back. The people stoned Adoram. And then they chased the king out of the city. Why? Because the people had enough. And it was time for the pushback, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It was time for the pushback. It was time that the people had their way because they said, enough is enough. And that brings me to the week of November 2nd, election week. New York City decided, we're going to push back. Virginia decided, we're going to push back. Seattle decided, we're going to push back. You see, because the key to all this, the reason why I bring this story into your ears right now, wherever you're listening from, and I thank you for listening, and I just ask of you, hey, share this podcast. Let somebody know that we're on the air. Let somebody know of the biblical worldview that you're getting, of the sound doctrine that you're getting. Put it out there on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Put it out there on Parler. Put it out there wherever it is that you're doing your thing on social media. The link are in all my social medias. So you can let anybody know, hey, this brother right here, he's talking about politics and he's talking about other things, but he's bringing it to you from a biblical view. So understand that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The Bible speaks about these things. Obviously, not exhaustive, like, hey, this is going to happen in 2021. No. But there are things that happened before that will happen again if we don't learn from our mistakes. So here's the key. Here's the key. This is why I bring this story into the equation. The old men told the king, they said in verse 7, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Listen to that. If you will be a servant to them, if you will serve them, they'll serve you forever. What a concept to be a public servant and the people will love you and the people will follow you and the people will help you. A public servant. And that was the advice of the older men in his circle, in King Rehoboam's circle. And he took the advice, not of the older, wiser men, but of the younger men who think they had it all figured out, who think they know life. And all of a sudden, the people rebelled against him. The people killed his VP. Just to put it in today's terms. Or his lieutenant governor, his colonel, however it is you want to say it. The second in command, the guy who was in charge of forced labor. That's who they came against first, and then they chased the king out. Here's the thing. New York City, stand up. New York City came out and voted. New York City. 4 city council seats for Republicans, conservatives, if you will. In Brooklyn, in Queens, and in Staten Island, and there's a 5th right now that the votes are still being tallied. Very, very close race. Republicans might get a fifth seat, but the message is clear. At least in some parts. Conservative people are tired of being pushed around by radicals and extremists and people who are pushing narratives that are wrong on the country and on the city and on the state. That's what happened Tuesday on Election Day 2021. It may not have been the mayoral race, but it was smaller, more controlled, more focused races that were going on. Four city council seats, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all know that in New York, it's about, what, 7-3 Democrat voters? But the people who don't understand how to be servants so that people will help them out and serve them and help them got unseated. That's right. The Democrats. Brooklyn's 48th Council District turned Republican. Queens 19th and 32nd Council Districts turned Republican. Staten Island's 50th Council District turned Republican. And I'm not saying this to say, oh, Republicans are the answer to everything, because they are not, because they have a lot of frailties, a lot of flaws, a lot of issues, but they are way more common sense, way more understanding than radicals and liberals and most Democrats. Because not every Democrat is evil. I don't want to give that message off either. That's not the way I roll on this show. But a lot of progressives that have been out there, they're just throwing out the wrong message and not doing anything for people. So there was one of these seats was backed. I think it was the Queens 19th. If I'm misquoting that, please forgive me. That was backed by AOC, a candidate that was backed by AOC, and they lost. Because there are people waking up and saying, yo, y'all not doing the right things. So whether a big name comes out here or not and says we endorse this person, guess what? We're going with ideas, with issues. We're not going with all this other junk that you're deflecting and talking about things that are not policies and things that are not going to help us out. So that's what happened. New York City said, y'all ain't fooling us no more. We getting in here. We doing what we got to do. We're running for seats. We're letting people know we're common sense. Now that leads me to the mayoral race. Eric Adams, who was on the ticket, who was not far left extremist, won the primary back in the summer. And I expected him easily to rout Curtis Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa was not a strong candidate. I keep telling people around my circle, I keep saying, listen, Sliwa had no chance. Well, Sliwa has no chance, and then he had no chance after he lost. I told them, he's a weak candidate. Nobody is throwing money at Sliwa, no Republicans. People are just not getting behind him because he doesn't have a strong enough message. And he got 28% of the vote. I didn't expect him to win. I expected him to get routed. And that's what happened. And then he congratulated Eric Adams, says, he has a lot to do. We have a lot to do. Let's get it done. Definitely. Let's get it done. So Eric Adams ran as a moderate. Hopefully he's a moderate. My big thing is this, man. I hope that Eric Adams helps fight crime, because he was a crime fighter back in the days, former NYC cop officer. So he would understand the ails and the things that our people in law enforcement go through. The tough fights, the tough nights, the trials, the tribulations, the tears, the blood, the sweat, going out in that cold as a rookie cop, fighting crime, not seeing your family on Christmas, on Thanksgiving, on New Year's. He understands all of that. And I hope that he acts on that. I hope that he helps officers, EMTs, firefighters, and all first responders, because he was a first responder himself as an officer. And I got people around me that are in law enforcement. And I also pray for them and hope that they have a new, better boss than the one that they are about to give up here on December 31st, because that guy did nothing for them. And even worse, turned his back on them. So, good riddance, de Blasio. And if anybody elects this man governor, that means that New York has not learned its lesson. He shouldn't even get the primary candidacy for governor of New York City next year. All right, let's keep moving on back through the pushback. The pushback continued in Virginia, because Virginia GOP, the Grand Ole Party, Republicans swept the governor race, lieutenant governor race, and attorney general race. Glenn Youngkin, shout out to you. You won the race. You did what you had to do. You pushed back. You fought back. And you let the parents in Virginia know critical race theory is not going to be accepted here. And now you got people on television, MSNBC and CNN and all these far left places talking about that CRT does not exist. No. CRT has been seen on the Virginia education.com, I believe it's called. Don't quote me on the name, but I know that there are websites with the Virginia education that have to do with that, that you can find critical race theory or race theory on the curriculum. It has been posted online that they are teaching children this nonsense. So what they're doing is dividing and saying that people of a certain color are the oppressors and people of a certain color are the oppressed. Last time I checked, in this country, in America, there are people all sorts of colors, wealthy, free to run for any race they want to. Whatever religion or background you're in, you can be an officer of the law. You can be an attorney. You can be a judge. You could be whatever you want to in this country. Be a law-abiding citizen. Run for races. Be the head of Fortune 500 companies. All colors, all shapes, all sizes, all languages. In this country, you can do that. Glenn Youngkin went out, ran his race, and said, I'm with the parents. His opponent, Terry McAuliffe, said, and I quote, parents do not get to decide what is being taught in schools. Are you serious? Parents who send their kids and pay their taxes to that certain area are not allowed to tell what goes on in that school, what is taught in that school. You got to be crazy. That's why you lost the race, man. Because you're not a man of the people, Terry McAuliffe. Nope. But Glenn Youngkin is. And hopefully he'll do a good job. So shout out to Glenn Youngkin on that. The new governor of Virginia, heavily blue state, turned red, hopefully turning conservative, and most of all, number one, as you know on this show, I hope that they turn their hearts to Christ, because that's even bigger than turning conservative. Don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. The number one thing on this show will always be turning on to Jesus. Let me move on. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. She's a former Marine. And she's going to be the state of Virginia's first female and first woman of color to hold that office of Lieutenant Governor. So you're going to tell me that because you are of a certain ethnicity, color, race, nationality, religion, you can't make it? No. CRT is definitely incorrect on that. You're not oppressed. You are not oppressed in this country. You can come up and be a Jamaican immigrant like this lady right here who says that she is a Christian. I don't know her personal testimony. I don't know how devout she is as a Christian. I don't know how she lives as a Christian. I really don't. But she says that she's a Christian. So praise the Lord. If she is, if she really is, then praise the Lord. But this I do know. She's a Jamaican immigrant. She came this country years ago. And now, as a person, as a woman, who supposedly had everything stacked against her, it is what people will tell you. They have everything stacked against them. Women, people of color, minorities, Latinos, everybody that's not white has everything stacked against them. But this lady right here, she proved different. She proved different. She proved the truth that in this country, equal opportunity exists. You don't see this covered on MSNBC, CNN. You don't see this covered, for the most part, on ABC, CBS, and those liberal outlets. For the most part, you won't see that covered. Why? Because they want people to believe that the deck is stacked against us as minorities. But in this country, we can be Christian. We can be conservative. We can be minority. We can be whoever we are and win the office of Lieutenant Governor in Virginia. And she, Winsome Sears, like I said before, is going to be the first woman to hold that office. And yes, she's a migrant. And yes, she's a minority. So guess what? America is an equal opportunity employer, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get it done. Let's do what we got to do. The Attorney General, the pushback continues because listen, the Attorney General, the new Attorney General of Virginia is also a Republican, a conservative. I hope he's a conservative, but he's a Republican. Jason Miyares, he's going to be the first Latino to hold that office in the state of Virginia. Virginia has had enough. And Virginia said, we're going out, we're going to vote, and we're going to turn this state around to people who have common sense and decency. Miyares is Cuban. He's the son of an immigrant. And he said that he is proud, proud to be the first Latino to hold that office. The pushback continues. If you will be a servant to these people, they will serve you forever. That's what the old man told King Rehoboam. But no, He decided to be even worse. And you saw what happened. So the people running in Virginia decided to say, parents, you don't get to tell teachers what to teach and schools what to do. Guess what? You wanted to heavy the yoke. You wanted to heavy the burden. Parents said, nope. No, thank you. We're pushing back. You're not going to heavy the burden. We're going to vote. We're going to do what we got to do. Republican and Democrat parents came out. Independents came out. And they said, nope. We are pushing back. The pushback continues in Seattle. Seattle City. 59% of the vote for Seattle City Attorney went to Ann Davison. She is a Republican. She ran before. She lost for lieutenant governor. But she got 59% of the vote. 6 out of 10 people went out and voted for her to be the new attorney in Seattle. Seattle was just allowing criminals to walk free and just allowing the worst of the worst to take over the city. But guess what? They pushed back and they said, nope, we're going out. We're voting for somebody who's not going to put up with this nonsense and just let criminals walk. If you didn't know, Seattle's the home of CHOP, otherwise called Capitol Hill Occupy Protests. It's the city of Chaz, also known as Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Remember that place where they got rid of the cops after George Floyd was murdered? They came up in an uprising and they blocked off a zone, a radius, multiple miles of city blocks in Seattle. That place, that Seattle. They saw that crime was going up, that criminals were being let out, and they said, no more. We want to change. The pushback continues, ladies and gentlemen. If you will be a servant to these people and speak to them good words, they'll serve you forever. That's what the old man told the young king, but he didn't listen. Another great story coming out of New Jersey, just breaking as I'm recording this episode. Edward Durr, New Jersey truck driver who spent $153 on his campaign, won District 3's Senate seat, defeating the state Senate's president, who had been there for years upon years upon years. But one truck driver, father of three, grandfather of six, stood up and said, no more. I've never ran for office. I'm going to spend $1.50 printing out some little ads and making a campaign video from an iPhone or whatever it was, and said, I'm just going out on $1.50. And I'm going to win. I'm just going to put on my nice suit, take a picture in like a backdrop of the American flag or whatever, and went out, gave a great message on his campaign ad, which was just low budget shot. The man spent $150, $153 to be exact, and he went out and won the race. A New Jersey truck driver who was never, ever, ever even ran for office. Ran for Senate. He didn't run for city council. He didn't run for school board leader. No, no, no. He went up and he said, I'm going to run for the Senate seat in the 3rd District of New Jersey. I'm tired of seeing my beautiful state run into the ground like this. And the pushback continues. And Edward Durr, D-U-R-R, New Jersey truck driver, went out and won the Senate seat. What a story. My goodness. What a story. Edward Durr. I hope that there are more of us out there that get that Edward Durr spirit and just say, you know what? I'm just going to run. I'm just going to push back. I'm just going to come in and do sensical things in our government. I'm not going to be radical and extremist and try to damage the minds of our children or damage families and divide. I just want to do common sense things. Do things that have biblical value. Do things that are advised to me by biblical principles. Now, you don't have to Christianize the nation. That's not what we're called to do. But there are people in our Congress, in our Senate, in our politics that are completely anti-God and completely anti-Christ. And that's not the people that we want in charge. So we got to get that Edward Durr spirit. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, I've been hoping for this. I've been wanting to get to this. Woo! My goodness. I never forget. In the summer, when Georgia had passed a voter law that actually helps people to get to vote. It's not a racist law. It's not a cheating law. It's a law that's going to help people to come out and vote and be identified as who they are. What is racist about identifying a person for who they are? Let me see your ID so you can vote and I can know it was you. So the state could know it was you. So America could know it's actually you. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? I know. You're hearing right now. You're saying, what? Yeah. Because whenever I step into a government building, whenever I step into a doctor's office, they want to know it's me. So when you step into a voting booth, I got to know it's you. I got to know you're registered. That's what happened in Georgia. And Rob Manfred, cue the booze. And the MLB decided, nope, we're going to take the World Series because of this air quotes racist law. Yeah. Okay, buddy. And we're going to move it to Colorado. Colorado! Where the overwhelming majority of the populace is white. We're going to move it away from Atlanta, where the overwhelming majority of the populace is black and Latino, to Colorado. But that's not racist. That's not wrong, according to Rob Manfred and the MLB. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Really? How can you justify that? They can't. They just needed to give in to the machine that continues to power them. Because you're not going to go from Hotlanta, where there are a bunch of businesses that are minority owned, to Denver, Colorado, where the majority of businesses are not minority owned, and tell me that it was because of racism. No. The move they made was racism. That's the move that the MLB made. That was racism. You know what? Because a lot of minority owners in Atlanta, they were looking forward to that week. They were looking forward to that time when the MLB was going to come in, have that All-Star game, have all these stars come in, sell that place out, sell food, sell clothes, sell merchandise, sell all these things. Hundreds of millions of dollars went down the toilet for the owners, small business owners in the area of Atlanta. But don't worry, don't worry. No, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. How? They didn't help him at all. We're going to look out for you. We're looking out for you because what they're doing here is racist. But we're moving it from a place that is minority populace to a majority populace. Don't worry. We're helping you out. You don't know it yet, but we're helping you out. The Atlanta Braves, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to say that they had a less than 5% chance to win the World Series in July. And guess what? They went out. They made some trades. And they kicked dirt on the face of Rob Manfred and the MLB. And they won the World Series 4-2 over the Houston Astros. And they won for the first time since 1995. Jorge Soler was the MVP, batted 300, 3 home runs, and 6 RBIs. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. Congratulations to Atlanta. Congratulations to Georgia for kicking dirt in the face of Rob Manfred and the MLB when Rob Manfred came up and came to give the trophy to the Atlanta Braves. He was rightly booed. Booed right out of the stadium. Because the people of Atlanta knew that they were getting robbed. That they got robbed of their All-Star game. Something that belonged to the inner city of Atlanta. Something that belonged to the small businesses of Atlanta. So they booed Rob Manfred right out of the building. Kudos to them. Good job. I was just giddy. I was like, this happens. It'll just be such irony, such beautiful irony to Rob Manfred and those who caved to wokeism, to the woke left that's really asleep. They need to be awake. Because I laid it out earlier. You can't move the All-Star game to where you moved it and then gave the reasons you gave. It doesn't add up. So it was beautiful irony that the Atlanta Braves, of all teams, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. My. The pushback continues. Don't forget, First Kings chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. There was a pushback. Pushback on people making it harder for others. Pushback on rulers making it harder for working class people. You pushed. And you pushed, but then they pushed back. New York City pushed back. Virginia pushed back. Seattle pushed back. Jersey pushed back. And the city of Atlanta, even though the Atlanta Braves themselves, they weren't doing it for that reason. But the city of Atlanta and America was rooting that this would happen. Because this is part of the pushback. This is part of, you gave us little chance to do it. We're going to lift up. We're going to do it anyway. Because winning is the right thing to do. Winning for the right cause, for the right reasons, is the right thing to do. So we celebrate with the Atlanta Braves today. We celebrate with the Constitutional Republic that is America. We celebrate with those who love their freedom. Because you could be down, you could be counted out by others, but you don't have to be out. They could count you down. They could say you're out, but that doesn't have to be the reality. We've seen it from all these examples I gave here today. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in today. And I just want to remind you that God is great, life is great, and you're great for listening today. I'll talk to you soon.
All Talks of Life with Chris Benitez.